kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
It's fucking hot.
Yeah, it is.
It's hot and it's dusty because there's another dust cloud from Africa doing dust cloud things in redneck land.
I don't think we have the dust issue up in my area.
I think it's fizzling out before it gets that far north.
Maybe.
But it's fucking up our couches down here. Like, just making a dusty old hole right in the couch and then making a dusty dick to fuck the dusty hole. And it's horrible. It's very horrible.
You have a way with words sometimes, you know that?
I know. And all three of us are imagining that, and you're welcome. but it's just doing really bad things to my allergy. So if I have to, like, stop and go silent, you can just assume that I'm having a sneezing fit.
No, I want you to stay unmuted when you have sneezing fits.
I've between sneezing fits and cough drops, and I'm like, is it the dust cloud or is it Rona? Something has me. I might die.
Lord, take me. Now.
Oh, man.
That might be the better option with what's going on in the world today.
No time said 2 minutes into the show and we're already on dusty dicks.
Yeah.
Welcome. That's the quality you're here for.
You're here for dusty dicks and Game Pass.
Yeah. 3 minutes in for Game Pass. Speed running, bitches. I'm going to get a cough.
No, we're still, we have not hit 2 minutes yet. We have not hit 2 minutes. That's how good we're doing.
Wow. We are knocking it out the motherfucking park. Speed run this dusty bitch. Dusty balls with dusty dicks after they fuck the dusty hole in your dusty couch.
We really could speed run this one if we wanted to.
But how's that going to work for us?
I don't know, because there's not a lot of news. It's been a slow news week, and there's not a lot of reviews because it's been a slow release week. One of them is going to be like a 2 minute preview, and another one is an emailed review, so that's not going to take long at all.
Okay. So
we could get this bitch under an hour if we tried.
Well, I have one question before we start trying to trim the fat here.
Yeah.
I have to know, what have you been playing on your new PC?
Nothing.
I'm not going to lie. It took me like a couple weeks to get across the idea that I could play games on my PC when I got one.
I fired up Sudeki. The
fuck is that?
It's an action RPG from like the original Xbox days.
Yeah, really, really intensive over there.
Hey, I could not run that shit before.
Rootbeer says, are we kidding? There's tons of news. Uh-oh.
I didn't find a lot of news in the week.
Rootbeer's going to fuss at us.
Yeah, Rootbeer's going to drop all the news. So, Rootbeer,
I would like for Rootbeer to come on the show because he clearly knows it fucking all. And I am here for it. Like, inform me of what I've missed because I'm going to fuss for a second. My mini tangent. I'm a speed run tangent. Because there's no E3, I feel like I have no fucking idea what's coming out until it lands in my lap.
Yeah.
And I'm really upset about it. Like, I know there's all these great little mini conventions and like virtual and all these videos are being released and stuff. But obviously, because of the way that the indie system is, that's just flying under the radar. And unless somebody specifically tags me in a video and says, check this the fuck out, then I'm like, oh, yay. And I look for shit like that.
No.
And I have no fucking idea. There was something the other day, people were like, I was in a Twitch chat. I don't even remember who I was watching. But the chat was like, oh, this video's being shown now and this video. I'm like, fucking where? And nobody ever answered me and I still don't know what the fuck they were watching and talking about the release videos for. So the extent of my knowledge of what's coming out is limited to that ID at Xbox post that was like, oh, hey, check out the ship we're going to demo.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I'm assuming that's probably part of your news, by the way.
Yeah, the instead of having any kind of E3 showing, Microsoft is going to have some kind of like Summer of Arcade event, or I don't know what they called it, Summer of something. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have like 60 some demos of games that people are going to be able to check out over the week.
I have two feelings on this.
What are your feelings?
That's fucking cool.
That is very fucking cool.
And they should do that more fucking often. Two, that's going to get avalanched. And I'm afraid not enough people care specifically about indies until somebody says, hey, go check this indie out, that they're going to miss it. And it's not going to get the traction in the news cycle that it would with something like E3 promoting it.
No.
And so I'm genuinely concerned, although I'm hopeful. And I think that the whole process of like just flat out, here's a whole bunch of demos, play them up, tell us what you like. I think that's fantastic, but I'm worried that there's not going to be enough promotion around it to get it into people's eyeballs.
Yeah, and that's, Summer Game Fest is the name of it, and that's going to be happening from the 21st through the 27th, so later on this month.
I'm also concerned it doesn't last long enough, but that's fine. I would have liked to see in a whole week.
Tuesday to Monday, that's pretty much a week.
Okay.
It is 7 days, 21st, 27th.
Look, now you're splitting hairs here.
Hey, you're the one saying it should be a week,
but no,
and it is a week. quick shout out, Vertically Impaired just dropped his sub for his 28th month. I know No Time for Games earlier on for his 27th month. Purnell, what do you think of that?
Fucking yeah!
You're damn right, Purnell, right?
Fucking yeah!
Right.
Yeah.
Production value.
Do you know how quick that loaded? Like, I didn't have to, to like, lead up to it and wait 3 seconds and
plan ahead. It was so fast, I didn't realize that it happened.
It just happened automatically. It was crazy. It's like my computer doesn't fucking suck anymore.
I am glad that your computer doesn't suck anymore.
I know. There's more Scarlet rumors. What Scarlet rumors?
Our buddy Jez from Windows Central did sneak some leaks. I don't suppose you saw. I think I retweeted them. I know I commented on them. I can't remember if I retweeted them, though. But trying to figure out what the hell Lightspeed is talking about. Oh, the chair. Okay. Sorry. In chat, Lightspeed made a comment about,
yeah, you have to address things. You can't just stop and giggle.
I'm trying now. He said, can we all appreciate how good Joe's wood looks? And I was like, the fuck is Lightspeed on about other than meth? and then he said the wooden chair. And I realized there's a wooden chair behind Joe in the camera. And I was very confused there for a second. I was like, the fuck is going on here?
Proud of you.
Anyway, I blame it on the dust storm. Everything's the fall of the dust storm. Anyway,
this show is terrible.
Jez made some comments regarding Xbox Lockhart. Is that the other codename, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. But like, if you've been on Twitter where anybody follows anybody from Xbox at all, then you've seen like the little GameCube looking version that's being tagged as the Xbox Series S rumor.
No, yeah, now people are saying that it's going to look more like a normal Xbox One X instead of a little GameCube looking thing.
Yeah, that's what Jez has said, is that it's like a slightly smaller Xbox One X without a disc tray.
I'm gonna go nuts with these fucking cats tonight. I don't know if my microphone is picking it up, but I want to, oh my lord, these freaking cats. Tony Dickinson, how are you doing? You're here. What, you want to jump in the call? That'd be funny. Let's just get Tony Dickinson in on the show. Right? Why not, right?
Go for it.
Seriously, cat. Sure, why not?
Pretty kitty.
See, Anthony Charles Dickinson. Oh, I will add you to Skype. Let's see if it adds him. Calling.
Are we doing a call-in segment now?
I guess so.
There's been people that have come in chat and asked how they call into us. I was like, no, we don't do that shit here.
Oh, my cat's in heat, and I am losing my mind.
That's why I have boy cats.
It's not calling. I don't know, Tony. I'm trying to call you, and it's not working. I don't know if you have a new Skype. It's not Prince of Darkness. Mr. Prime, thank you for the biddies.
Look how fast the biddies fall down.
Seriously, see how quick that shit was? It shows him as online. So let me... Sorry, dude, I'm booting up Skype right now. Should I just leave all of this in the show?
Yes.
Leave all of it, all of this terribleness.
Production value.
I love it. This is terrible. Prime, thank you for the biddies. George, take it away.
Drop it, bits!
God, that is so quick. I love
all
it.
Right.
Hey.
All right. So this is kind of funny. I'm actually broadcasting.
You're broadcasting live?
Yes. To my own Twitch stream right now. So
did I go live?
people are gonna be watching at home. So I'm just hanging out on the SML podcast for those people who are on my stream right now. So I just finished my stream theater. How are you guys doing? You can't view my webcam because it's currently broadcasting to my own channel.
Skype doesn't really work that well with OBS anymore anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But do we have to watch our language on your stream?
I'd appreciate that, you know. I mean, I occasionally curse, you know, just like keep it, you know.
Oh boy.
Every so often. Cool. Like, you know.
I'm in trouble.
My mom's probably watching. I think my brother and my nephews, they might not be watching anymore, but they were watching.
Are they over the age of 18?
Yes. No.
Did you miss how I introduced the show?
I did. I missed that.
Oh boy. Yep. Oh boy.
We'll try to keep it clean for at least a little bit.
Okay.
So you said you did stream theater. Tell us, what is that? By the way, introduce yourself because we didn't do that yet.
So. Yeah. So my name is Tony Dickinson. I am a good fan of Joe Camps. We met at the MagFest area or the series of MagFests.
Yes.
Joe Cam is a video game remix fan. I do video game remixes myself in my spare time. So
you do. We have played a lot of your music on the show before.
Yes.
Oodles of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you've even done our theme song before.
I have. Has anybody redone it in the time that I did the last one?
Viking Guitar is the current theme.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and then I think we're working on hopefully getting something new, but I don't know if you want to throw your hat back in the ring and do something new. Always down.
Oh, got a lot of time now.
Yeah. What are you doing with the whole quarantine and pretty much killing music? Live music is just suffering.
So I mean, I have some other stuff that I'm doing right now. I've got a bunch of YouTube stuff I've kind of planned out. I'm doing some Silva stuff, some Tiberian Sun stuff, and I'm trying to kind of get back into my YouTube channel. I've put out some. I used to do like covers like a long time ago. I used to put out covers, and I kind of got back into that. I've like invested in like fancy cameras and stuff like that. But I did Metallica's Battery, a cover of that. I did.
Oh.
That's kind of like how I got my start in YouTube, and that's actually how I've landed a couple gigs, is some of my YouTube covers from a long, long time ago, like high school days. So I'm doing a little bit of that. I have some like writing work, like trailer music and library music kind of stuff that I have been that I've been working on as well. And yeah, just trying to keep my mind off of the world burning down around us, basically.
Human malware.
Yeah. So.
How bad are things in your neck of the woods with the plague?
They're not that bad. They're not that bad. Colorado kind of clamped down on everything pretty quickly, actually. when things were going down. So we've had like 1,600 deaths, which is not, you know, like in the grand scheme of things is like a terrible number by any statistic, but is one of the lower actually death statistics currently compared to other states. So we've been slowly like reopening, but music is not going to be coming back for a long time. I have had some actually like music venues. I think they're kind of desperate for business, like send messages to me for get my band like playing there, and they're like, yeah, we got space tables and everything, we can have up to 75 people in our venue. I'm like, no, I'm sorry, no, ain't gonna happen. I'm not gonna be part of that.
It sucks. Up there thinking about 75 people in a room just gave me serious anxiety.
I know, and it's not actually a terribly big room either, right? Just like, oh, yeah.
All right.
And
yeah, so you know, I was doing a live streaming show, Stream Theater.
Stream Theater, yes. I love your name of it. It started off with obviously Slipknot, right?
No.
No.
Nope.
Really?
No. Hmm. Obviously Dream Theater, Joe.
Oh.
Obviously,
you know, Dream Theater. Man. I was thinking that.
Yeah. So the first one I did was early April. I did Dream Theater covers because I know like a decent amount of Dream Theater, and basically it was just like it was kind of like the quarantine had really kind of hit. It had been for a couple of weeks. It's like, well, crap. Here, there go all my like live shows for like a year.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm just gonna try to do like live shows on the internet. I actually have, you know, like people who are watching my stream at home. No, I have lights that actually trigger with my bass.
Oh, so that's
I was
cool.
Like, yeah, I'm going to do like a, I don't know, like live lights and just kind of like make it a little mini show for people. Cause nobody, you know, I know people want to see live music, but they're going to have to do it from the comfort of their homes. So I did that. I did that for a few episodes. I had to take like the month of May off cause I had to get my motherboard RMA'd cause it was going to shit. Nice. And then I came back, and then last week, unfortunately, I got a copyright strike after playing Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh no.
It's a bummer. So I don't think I can do the cover thing anymore. And that also sucks. Cause it's like, it's easy to do it weekly when I was doing covers. So now I probably can't do it weekly. It's too much work to, like recreate the tracks. You know,
yeah.
For a weekly show, that would be way too much work. So, So again, like I got a lot of stuff that I'm doing offline, really, a lot of stuff to get on my YouTube channel and some other projects and stuff like that. I'm actually taking this year to kind of redo a bunch of my old video game remixes.
No,
I was kind of planning on doing that from the beginning. For the sake of calling the compilation, you know, like hindsight 2020, basically like looking back on my remix history and just like kind of redoing stuff. Cause you know, I'm working on music constantly. So I get like better samples and better guitar tones, better like production skills. So I'm always looking for excuses to kind of like go back and do that stuff and make them sound better.
Yeah, it's crazy to listen to your stuff from Pud's Duds compared to your stuff with Tiberian Sons.
Yeah, yeah,
and like just to hear how versions. It's grown that way, and right. Bringing in other musicians, and just how your sound has grown and changed over the months and the years. It's a cool progression to go back and listen to those old ones, and then listen to the newer versions, and just see what little tweaks there are and changes there are.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, but the other benefit of why I'm going to try to do that is also after I kind of like remake them, I'm probably going to be recording a lot of those for YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. So, I'm practicing a lot more keyboards so I can try to play some of those keyboard parts, for the video. So like guitar, bass, and keyboard. So, cause I have a lot of time. I've been practicing like piano every day and trying to get those chops back up. But, yeah, so that's just what I'm doing. But otherwise I am home. Just hanging out. Yeah.
What are you playing?
What am I playing? Currently?
Oh, yeah.
Video game wise?
Yeah.
Okay, so gotta have to plug myself. Command & Conquer Remastered Collection. Cause I did part of the soundtrack to it.
Tell us about that.
Yes. So, yes. So, as some of you might know, I play in a band called Tiberian Sons, and we played at MAGFest in 2019. But we played with Frank Lepacki, who composes the music for Command & Conquer. And so we did it was an entire set of Command & Conquer music. And after we did that, like a week later, the guy, his name is Jim Vasella, he's a lead producer on the remaster for the game. He sent Frank an email. He's like, "Hey, show's really cool. Could you guys record that and we'll put it in the game?" I'm just like, "What? Sweet." So, yeah, so we did that. You know, we were like on NDA, right? This is, you know, AAA game release. We're on NDA. We couldn't talk about it. We actually pretty much recorded the album like in March 2019. It was pretty much done by that point, but wow. We couldn't talk about it. And the game came out earlier in June. So, so we had to wait, right? Wait a ways. But so I'm playing that. You know, I have been a Command & Conquer player for a long time. I'm not particularly good at RTS games. I think a lot of people will probably smoke me, but I played all of them. I played all the Command & Conquer games, and excuse me. So I was playing those. I just beat the Red Alert campaigns. Gonna play the Command & Conquer Tiberian Dawn games. And go through those campaigns. I've also been playing, my fiance and I have been playing Borderlands 2. We played the first one too. And the pre-sequel. We just finished that. So we're probably going to move on from those because we've been a whole hell of a lot of Borderlands for like a few months. And I think we're going to move on. I want her to play Last of Us Part 1 because I have the remaster on the PS4 because I went through it. I want her to play it, and then when we're done, I think we're probably going to go through part two together.
Did you pick up the second one yet?
Yeah. When we get to that point, I will. I'm also playing, let's see, I kind of went through like a like old games that I've loved for a long time. I kind of went back and got like their remasters, so I played like Final Fantasy VIII. And Final Fantasy X, like they put out like new versions of that, so I went through both of those.
Did you play the 12 re-release at least?
The 12? No.
Oh, man, that's
played the original 12. Ugh, sorry.
I love 12.
So there's that one. What else? I don't, you know, I actually don't have a heck of a lot of time for games, but you know, that's
you don't have time for games. What the hell? Like
the world is falling apart. You
that's
have
all we have.
I know. Okay, so I choose to not have a lot of time for games. That's the real answer.
Okay, that makes more sense.
We'll continue.
Yeah, I try to only play them like an hour or two a day, at most. I'm just trying to, you know, like try to keep like doing music and stuff, like keep working on my projects, make sure that I spend enough time doing that. But I'm also like trying to take some time, like learning other skills, basically, because, you know, if I can't do music live, I'm pretty screwed.
Are you baking bread? That's what all the rest of the world has decided to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, apparently. like the amount or lack thereof of yeast that's in the grocery store. But we've actually been making like homemade pizza, and we got this really good recipe, and that's the best I've got for yeast products. We make homemade pizza a lot, but unfortunately it has been hard, kind of hit or miss on getting the pizza yeast. Otherwise at least our area has certainly caught up in terms of grocery store supply lines. We haven't been too bad on food, but it is the yeast for some reason. Oh, it's like yeast and cleaner, like hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. Still can't get out of it. Like plenty of toilet paper now, but
our area is still hit or miss with toilet paper and paper towels. People are, I don't know if they're just like trapped in the past and they're, toilet paper is going to be hard to find forever. Stock up on it. I don't, my area is so stupid with this pandemic, and I hate living here. I want to punch everybody in the face when I go out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when it did get to like peak levels, of like panic, I did actually have to go down, drive an hour down. Like I live an hour north of Denver. I used to live a lot closer. My parents live in Metro Denver, and so do my fiance's parents. And there was one day we were pretty much out of toilet paper. None of the grocery stores had it. I did have to actually drive down and get toilet paper from my fiance's parents and my parents. So brutal. Actually,
my sister has been supplying us with, you mentioned hand sanitizer. My sister lives next to a Dollar General in an actual town. I live way out in the middle of fucking nowhere. My sister lives in an actual town, and Dollar General is close to her. And she sent me a text the other morning at like 5 a.m. And it was like, when D gets up, that's my husband, she sent him here. She lives 30 miles from me. I'm like, okay. So we get up, I tell Dee, I'm like, my sister said you gotta come up and she has something. And he was like, okay, why is she being secretive? And I was like, I don't fucking know. And so then like she sends these great big bags of Clorox cleaner and baby wipes, toilet paper, hand sanitizer, and she's like, she sends me a text and she's like, did you see what I got? I was like, yeah, thank you. What happened? And she goes, oh, she said, I couldn't sleep. And so I was up at 4 a.m. and I heard the Dollar General truck arrive with the delivery. And she said, so I went over and waited for them to open. And I got all the cleaning supplies that we needed for me and for you. And then that was her whole big surprise, was send David up so he could sit 30 miles so that she could send cleaning supplies and hand sanitizer to us. And she was so proud of herself because she'd heard that truck at 4 a.m.
Oh, God.
Right. Yeah.
That's the world we live in now.
Yeah.
Sure is.
How was your weekend, man? Dollar General.
Yeah, I heard the Dollar General truck at 4 a.m. Score! And she was just as pleased as punch.
So Command and Conquer, how did that come together? Like, how crazy is it that you were involved in the music for this remat? Like, that still blows my mind, just knowing that my buddy is in that game. That's so cool for me.
You know, it started off with really the Hellmarch remix that I did. It started off there. It really did. Where that was, you know, one of like the first remixes that I had ever done. And it was really kind of the first one that where I did like orchestra and metal basically. And so it started there and I had been emailing like Frank Lepacki, the composer, for a pretty long time. Like I was a big fan of his because I loved his music, I loved the games and everything. And so when I was working on this remix, I emailed it to him and I was like, hey man, I'm working on this. I'll see if you get your opinion on this. And again, this is like 2008. This is a while ago. and you know, he's like, oh, this is really cool, man. And, you know, here's some advice for the mixing. I remember he told me, like, you know, for because the mixing on the, if you guys hear the original version, the mixing is pretty bad, especially compared to like what it sounds like now. But he's really good at he's really good at interacting with fans. He's good at answering emails and stuff like that. So we kind of remained in touch, and Frank then. After the Vince DiCola, after Vince DiCola played with Lonely Rolling Stars at MAGFest, Vince and Frank know each other. So Vince emailed Frank. I was like, hey, man, you should check out MAGFest. I had already emailed Frank about like, hey, man, you should check out MAGFest. And apparently there have been other composers that have gone to MAGFest and know Frank. And like, hey, Frank, you should check out MAGFest. So finally, after Vince DiCola played and Frank's like, all right, fine. And so he sends me an email. He's like, hey, man, tell me about this. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, dude, it's really cool yearly thing. You know, a lot of people go to that. And there's a lot of like industry types that are that go to this. We talked. Sorry, I'm trying to send a goodbye message to some people that are leaving my stream. I am not great at multitasking, so
I'm not good at it either. I'm just
I've been sitting here playing a fishing game this whole time. That's why I'm silent.
All right. So anyway, Frank and I kind of talked about it, and I was like, "Yeah, man, I really want to do it." I couldn't immediately say yes because it was going to be a likely yes, but I always have to wait till I know my TSO schedule, my tour schedule. Cause sometimes it like goes into, it has gone into January in the past. It's been a while since it's gone into January, but it has happened. And so I was just like, all right, well, you know, MAGFest is always like the first weekend in the year. So, you know, I'll be in touch once I know from the management, you know, I'll let Frank know. And so when I got that word for it, that I was available to do it, I was like, all right, Frank, let's do it. We can, let's get the show rolling. But, you know, like I got to leave for tour in a couple months. So I'll get those tracks done really quickly. Cause I got to practice, man. So Frank basically, he chose the entire set. He planned out everything. He planned out like the videos and how the show was going to be structured. And then he re-recorded all the tracks for us. And basically like, here's what Connor's going to do. Here's what Tony's going to do. Here's what Frank's going to do. Here's what Travis and Max are going to do. Cause he plays pretty much every instrument. Drums is his number one. He's a unbelievable drummer, but he's good at everything else. So he arranged it and we learned those arrangements and worked on those. It's like we weren't going to play them all together until we actually got to MAGFest. And I had to learn a lot of it while I was on the road. So then we played the show and it was like a huge reaction. Like I had no idea that it was actually going to be that big of a response from.
Oh, come on. You knew it was going to be huge. Come on.
No, I didn't. No, like I remember like on the Facebook main page after they had announced us as the headliners, people were like, oh, that's an interesting choice for a headliner. Like there are a lot of people saying that. And I was just like, huh. All right. Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll get like half the room or something. But it'll, you know, it'll still be fun. That's basically how I thought about it. And then we got the entire room. It was maxed out capacity. And I put together, cause we had put up like GoPros and other cameras and stuff like that. And then I put together and we had the multi-tracks cause the audio crew recorded them. And so I mixed that and I did like a full official edit, I guess, of the, of our show and put that online. And it's gotten a great response. And so that's led to us being involved in the remaster because the producers and everything and a lot of people that were involved in creating the Command and Conquer, actually a lot of people that made the game originally did the remaster. So it's super cool. It's the old Westwood Studios guys basically like teaming up with some other game companies. I think they teamed up with a company that's like they're like experts at like recreating old graphics in 4K. Right. So, I mean, like the old game is like, what, like 320 by 240 or something, right? Something tiny.
That's like calculator sized.
Yeah. Right. So, and they remade it for 4K graphics basically. And what's really cool is that when you're playing the game, you can actually manually switch between the new and the old graphics if you want to. I think it just kind of adds to the, you know,
I love when games have that feature.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Halo Master Chief Collection has that same feature where
just at the press of a button,
it switches over. I love that stuff.
Spyro does too, I believe.
Yeah. Everybody keeps telling me about the Halo Collection. I got to get that. I think that's like on my list down the road for sure.
Can we interest you in the glory that is Game Pass?
Game Pass. No, I don't play that many games. I'm pretty selective about it.
Well, you see, it's only $10 a month.
Yeah.
You could play that many games.
Wait, it's even cheaper for PC Game Pass, isn't it?
It is. It's only $4.99.
Do I have to put the games back in the mail before I get a new one?
Yes.
No. You don't even have to uninstall them. You just get to keep them until you don't play anymore.
Cool. All right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
If I played more games, I would, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. We'll get you there one day. We'll sell you one day. Right. Yeah. I love.
Are you sponsored by Game Pass, Joe?
I wish, man. If we could get a sponsorship from Microsoft, I would lose it. I would be so excited.
Yeah.
That would be crazy, but no one likes us enough.
Mm.
But you do.
I like you. I sponsor you. I have nothing to give you, but You can use me as
you have official, music to give
special
us.
Endorsement. I do. Yeah, that's true. It's true. Like, you're going to get all my music.
What kind of new music have you been working on? What can we play on this episode that you have been working on?
We have a couple new Tiberian Suns tracks we actually did this year.
Oh,
I need to hold on just a second. I need to get a new browser window. I'm casting your podcast onto my computer, but I have to use the display capture in my broadcast software. So I got to grab the link. So we did in March, these were both for DOD. In March, we did, it was recover month, which you basically recover another DODer's track. And so we did Full Mast, which was Vert and Snappleman, which was Zelda Wind Waker and like some of the themes from the original Zelda.
I remember then, seeing that on DOD.
And then for April, we did God Shattering Star from Fire Emblem Three Houses, which is one of the biggest arrangements we've done. And one of my favorites that we've ever done. So I'm going to find these links and I'm going to toss them your way. It's actually going to be easier if I could just grab it from the DOD website. But
yeah. You could just jump on the DOD website and grab them.
You could, you know. I mean, again, I'm not very good at multitasking. So while I'm doing it.
Dude, this is the first time in ever that I've had a computer capable of multitasking, and I don't know what I should do.
Right.
Because I'm scared that if I start multitasking too much, I'll just ignore like you and Cole, like you'll be talking to me and I'll just be like, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like I do.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there's the link to Full Mast. And then let's see here, the link to God Shattering Star. So we are working on a video to God Shattering Star as well.
Oh,
yes. It's going to be epic.
What are you doing with the video?
Just us playing it. Really? I've been practicing. We had Mike Willard from Arm Cannon sing the opera part of it, but so yeah, it'll just be us playing it mostly. But I'm playing piano, I'll also be like kind of playing keyboard in that and stuff like that. It's just a music video, right, of us playing it in our respective homes.
I think it should just be a video of you playing all the parts yourself, just six Tonys.
Yeah, that will be for my other remixes. it's actually live drums on that one, on Gash Rang Star, and Connor plays some lead guitar stuff. I recorded the bass and the rhythm guitars and the guitar solos. There's some lead stuff that I had Connor do, but it'll be us all like playing it together as a band. So yeah,
nice. So always good seeing Tiberian Suns doing stuff. Are you working on more stuff that you're able to talk about, or anything you're not able to talk about but you could hint at?
You
could, like, blink once if there is.
Again, like some video projects I'm working on are pretty cool right now. I don't know if like there's some special video projects that I'm working on. I don't know if they'll actually be public, but they are. I'm involving like other big name musicians as part of it, but it's stuff for a fundraiser basically. But I'm editing those together. If they're public, you know, I'll let you know, but I don't know if I can necessarily talk about those at the moment.
Yeah. Hey, I gotta ask, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yes.
So anything else you want to talk about, or do you want to hang out and chat news with us?
What kind of news?
Just the news of the week.
News of the week.
Vidya game perhaps. News.
I do need to eat. I'm very hungry.
Well, then we should let you get going. Yeah. It was good having you on. It was a fun little spontaneous visit.
Good to be on. Thank you, Joe. It's been a while, actually.
We were going to be like, hey, we're going to speed run this episode. We'll get done within like an hour. And then you jumped in chat and you're like, hey, I'm free. Want me to jump in? And I'm like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
Now, a half hour later, we're going to let you go so you could eat.
Yes.
And I'm hungry and I wish I was leaving to eat, but I have to do more show.
Tis the life of a live streamer. Joe Cam.
Do you have any final words before we let you get going?
Wear your friggin' masks, people. That's yes. the only thing I have to say. Wear your friggin' masks. Just do it.
Yes, I can agree with that one. Tony, we will let you get going. Have yourself a wonderful night, and you take care of yourself.
Thanks, buddy. It's good talking to you.
And bye to your viewers.
Yes.
Bye. It was a pleasure to meet you, Tony.
You too. Thanks, guys. See you.
Oh, man. I love Tony. He's good peoples.
Yes.
So, news. Should we get on to news? The news?
That's a thing.
Last week, we went over the games with gold. This week, we got the PlayStation Plus announcement. We'll go over both of them again just to compare. PlayStation Plus for the month of July is getting NBA 2K20, Rise of the Tomb Raider 20-year celebration, and a bonus game called Erica.
A bonus game?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're getting three games. Pretty solid games. I know a lot of people don't care about the basketball game, but... Mm-hmm. Rise of the Tomb Raider, getting the 20-year celebration with all the DLC, that's pretty badass.
Yes.
And then on the flip side, Xbox, Xbox One has World Rally Championship 8 and Dunk Lords, and Xbox 360 has Saints Row 2 and Juju.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a month.
Those exist.
Those do exist. I think PlayStation's got the edge this month.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of a neutral month, in my opinion. Nobody really wins or loses. It just exists.
The only thing I care about is Dunk Lords is a brand new game. So that means I don't have it. So that's a small victory right there.
Yes.
But
makes sense.
Twitch Prime, they have a handful of games for the month. Did you see theirs?
No, I haven't seen theirs.
So far, they... six games have been announced so far. I know sometimes they'll add a couple more through the middle of the month, but at the beginning of the month, you've got Kunai, Dear Esther, Dark Devotion, Turok 2, Seeds of Evil, Grip, and Melbit's World.
Okay.
So some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Dear Esther is always solid. Grip is fun.
Okay.
So... Game Pass, some Game Pass news hit this week. On July 1st, console got Soul Calibur 6 and PC got Out of the Park Baseball 21, which I know everyone's excited for baseball.
Yeah, this is sweet.
Well, I mean, the season is finally starting. I think it's exciting to get some actual sports in the world again.
Sports. Yeah.
All right, next week, July 9th, both console and PC is getting, or no, yeah, console, just console is getting CrossCode. There we go.
Okay.
And then console and PC is getting Fallout 76.
Really?
Yeah, Fallout 76 coming to Game Pass. It kind of seems like that's been the best home for it since the beginning. It should have been there since day one.
Yeah. I mean, it could have used a little help.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll probably give it a shot now that it's coming to Game Pass and they've had like a year of updates. Maybe it turned out to be fairly solid. I have a couple of friends who just live and die by that game still.
I do know a few people who really genuinely enjoy it.
Then Aki in chat is excited about CrossCode.
Okay, I didn't look up anything about CrossCode. I saw some people talking about it, and I was like, it exists. So I've been a little null to everything. Not even numb, just kind of like, yeah, okay, for like the last 3 days. So I apologize if I'm not like over any of it. I had bad news today, and it just made that feeling worse. Yeah, and I'm just having a hard time being hyped for much right now.
Well, to make things worse, there's some bad news with Game Pass. There's games leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. It's only three,
but
there's some big games going. Blazing Chrome is leaving, Dead Rising 4 is leaving, and Metal Gear Solid 5.
Okay.
All leaving for July 15th.
Blazing Chrome is one that I have not played that I would like to play before it's gone.
Well, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, I was about to say, whether or not that actually happens is different from me saying I want to do it, but it is on the list of things I would like to play before it's gone.
No. Did you see that next gen games might be more expensive?
I did see this. I'm not bothered by it. I know a lot of people are, but I'm not. If we're perfectly honest, we kind of got away with murder this gen because prices should have gone up between the 360 and the one.
Prices should have gone up before that.
They should have, and they didn't. And we've been getting away with murder for a while here.
No.
So I can't say I'm mad at them for raising the prices. That's just the nature of capitalism. It is what it is.
Yeah. It looks like 2K may be leading the charge in pricing when it comes to next gen, as they've announced that current gen versions of NBA 2K21 will cost $59.99, while the Series X and PS5 versions will cost $69.99. So, is 70 going to be the new standard price point, do you think? Or are we still going to see $60 games?
I don't know. You know, I really don't know. I think the 70 is plenty fair. When you stop and you think about what AAA games are, and the blockbuster budgets that go into creating them...
Root beer saying, I'm all for increasing prices if there's no microtransactions. I can agree with that.
How the motherfucking Luya. If we could get microtransactions gone.
Yeah.
I'm down. I will pay $100 a game. I don't pay for that shit. I do refuse. I get it for free. But I would pay $100 a game to not have to bitch about microtransactions on the show every week. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I'm not saying all DLC, like mini DLC, like costumes and shit, I don't care about, but it's the loot boxes and the gambling aspect and get rid of that shit.
Those have been less frequent.
Yeah.
But they're not entirely gone. I mean, the new, wow, I already forgot the name of it and I just played it. Was it Warface? Breakout?
Oh, Warface Breakout?
Yeah, there we go. Lord.
Proud of you.
Struggle is real. But even that was a recent release at a higher price tag with microtransactions. Like, just let me pay you and get it out of the way, okay? And then you shower me in fun stuff. That's the way that this works. I give you my monies. You give me the fun stuff. Don't start fucking with that formula. Don't fuck with it. If we could give more money to get more fun stuff with less fuckery of the formula, I'm down.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Some sad news. Microsoft is closing all of their physical retail locations worldwide.
Yeah.
Yep, they are all going bye-bye.
I'm not sure why I was particularly shocked by it, but I was.
Yeah, it says that 4 stores, including the one in New York, will be converted to non-sales experience locations, whatever the hell that means.
Well, that's like they have the Halo experience where you go in, like there's a whole big AR thing involved and...
It seems weird that there's no sales at all. Like, wouldn't you at least try selling an Xbox or some games at the very end?
While you're there. You know, by the way, but yeah.
While you're here, jump in.
Maybe the idea is to get people invested in the story or interested in the story so that they go back and they like start looking up and like, holy shit, there's all these other games and stuff.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, from all their stores down to 4 non-sales experiences.
Wow.
So, more sad news. The Molasses Flood has announced that Drake Hollow will not be making its July 17th release date. A new date was not announced, and I know you are gutted by this news.
This is why I have big sad energy today.
Is this really the bad news you're talking about?
Yeah. No, I know that it's stupid. But I have really been looking forward to Drake Hollow. I love the Molasses Flood. I love the Flame in the Flood. I had such a good time with the beta. And I was like, holy fuck. I've literally been counting down the days. I got up this morning. I got up yesterday. I was like 16 fucking days. And I got up today. I was like 15 fucking days. Because I was really stupid excited. And I was like, I had such a good time with it. I was really looking forward to it. And I still am. But now I don't know when I get to be excited for it.
No. At least you know it's like, still coming.
I do. And I'm trying not to be like, well, this fucking sucks. This everything sucks. But I'm just like, I don't know. The world's been shit the last few months. And this was somehow like a little beacon that I had clasped onto that I was like, everything sucks, but fucking Drake Hollow is coming out. Okay. So it's fine.
No, it's still coming out.
And I kind of, it is, but it's not now.
No.
And it's just, you know, I don't know. I had just like attached to that idea of it's soon and I get to enjoy it and I'm going to get to just have a good time. And now it's like, okay, it's not soon anymore. And I need the soon to come back.
More sad news. Andy McNamara, the Game Informer editor-in-chief since 1994, is stepping down from the magazine and games journalism completely.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been with the magazine since it launched in 91, and he was the editor-in-chief since 94, and he is stepping away.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty crazy. And he's not just, like, retiring from everything, just games journalism? Is he going to get another job elsewhere? Like, what's this dude doing?
He says he's not leaving the game industry as a whole, but we'll see what happens. Dark Mika saying Game Informer still exists. Yes, but who knows how much longer at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Rootbeer's been talking about there's been some shittiness going on in the Smash Brothers scene. Have you caught any of this news? Because I haven't, and I don't want to comment on it if I don't know the facts.
No. I've got to be really, really honest. A lot of the accusations and the claims against players or streamers being involved in sexual assault, I really, really struggle with that shit emotionally. I don't have the hitherto or the capacity to follow it, to read it. I have to.
Yeah.
It's shitty. They need to step out of the limelight, move on. But I can't. I cannot emotionally invest in that. And I apologize. I'd like to be able to go on some kind of big tangent and you know, say something poignant. But, you know, it's... I don't have the emotional capacity for it.
Yeah, we're not the show for that.
I'm not even sure I'm comfortable saying we're not the show for it. I think...
I don't...
it's something we can talk about. It's just something I personally can't talk about.
I think it's something that I would prefer to not talk about because I don't know all the facts and I don't want to get into a conversation where I don't know all the facts and I... don't want to say something stupid, which I say something stupid on a weekly basis. I just don't want to say anything regrettably stupid.
Yeah.
So.
Which is understandable.
And so instead, we'll talk about fishing games.
Yeah. Look, there was never a week I needed more to just get lost in a game that lets me mindlessly throw dead fish and worms at fish to catch more fish.
Well, should we get to reviews then?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is called The Catch, Carp and Course, developed and published by Dovetail Games. It released June 30th on Xbox One and PS4 for $24.99. The Catch, Carp and Course is a species hunting fishing game about the passion and pursuit of what lurks beneath the waters. Take on the hunt of a lifetime as you target and pursue monster-sized fish around the world. It's all about The Catch. Cole, tell us about The Catch.
Man. Dovetail Games are up there with like they're on that same level as Artifacts Mundi games. They can do no wrong. They know what their craft is. They stick to their lane and they just constantly hone what they're doing and make it better. And I cannot for the life of me find things to be disappointed with when it comes to Dovetail Games. Now, I say that knowing that I was pretty iffy on my last Dovetail review. I think it was a fishing sim world or something like that. It wasn't my favorite because I kept comparing it to Dovetail Eurofishing. Dovetail Eurofishing to date has been my favorite Dovetail game. And it's like the cream of the crop when it comes to fishing simulators. If you're not into fishing, if you don't enjoy fishing, if you're completely oblivious to fishing, none of that makes any sense to you. And that's fine, and I understand it. And the further I go into this review, the less it's going to make sense to you. And that's fine. But do try to hear me out, because there is something I would like to point out about Dovetail fishing games before I get into all of the why they're the best parts. Dovetail knows that not everybody is going to invest whole hog into a fishing simulator. And when I say invest whole hog, I mean like playing with the controls where you've actually got to lean the stick back and throw it forward to cast and casting underhanded a certain way and like really fine tuning your gear. They know that that's a difficult simulating system to get into. And so they say, well, yeah, we put all that shit there and it's fine tuned and it's really good. But if you can't get into that, you could still pick up a Dovetail game and enjoy it because they let you adjust and choose simpler mechanics if you want them. So there's always options to go in and say, well, I don't mind doing the more precise cast, but I don't want to have to put so much effort on to fighting the fish and reeling it in. So you can actually go in and say, okay, but I don't want the tension mechanics to be complicated. I want simpler tension mechanics, or I want simpler casting, or I want both. And the game just lets you play and enjoy and fish no matter how involved in it being a simulator you're willing to get. More games need to do that. I love simulator games, but the whole genre just throws the baby out with the bathwater as far as being difficult goes. And when I see one that just goes, you don't got to be an expert in our field to have fun, then I am 100% on board. And Dovetail does that incredibly well. They have done it on all of their fishing games. They have always had those I consider them accessibility features, because for me, I can't do the hand motion for the casting legitimately. Even though I think it's a really cool mechanic, I can't physically do it. And so I can just go in and set the simpler cast and be done with it and still get to fish and have fun. It also is one of the best simulators for explaining what you need to know without trying to cloud it or make you feel dumb for needing an extra explanation. There's always all these different brands of hooks and bait and all these different accessories that you could focus on and really get into the nitty gritty of, oh, I only like Ridge Monkey hooks, or I only like this kind of bait. Or you could be like me and not give a fuck and just be like, I like the color of that one. I'm going to pick it. And the funny thing is that I fish in real life, so I know what some of these things are. My husband is an avid fisherman. He was going to go tonight. It's too hot. He decided not to. So, I mean, he's an avid fisherman. I fish quite a bit. So we know what these things are. But even if I don't want to focus on the specifics of it, the game is like, hey, you like this bait? Cool. It's good for catching this kind of fish. It's good for catching that kind of fish. There are special named fish in each of the venues, which are your boss fish. And so, like, they're really hard to catch. They put up a big-ass fight when you do get one. And they also have certain situations that you need to take into consideration.
Like what?
In order to catch it. So, like, certain fish can only be caught in a certain alcove of a certain lake at a certain hour, right? Using a certain kind of bait. But even though all that, it like, if you're not familiar with fishing, you'd be like, how the fuck am I supposed to know this stuff? The game just flat out tells you, oh, this is the lake that you're going to. These are the fish you've caught. This is your personal best. This is what you caught it with. This is how you can catch a better one. You don't have to put in that mental investment to have fun with it, because it helps you along the way. It can make it as difficult or as simple as you want it to be. You don't have to go for those boss fish at all. There have been times playing Dovetail games where I've caught boss fish and I've gone and looked it up, and like the Reddit is like, no, I had to do this and this and this at this hour and that hour. I'm like,
I just caught fish. That fish
on accident. Sometimes you just throw that shit out and it happens. And that's just like real life. Sometimes it doesn't. I don't care how many fucking times people tell me you need to fish with chicken liver. Sometimes you can just throw some strawberry Kool-Aid in the lake and you're going to catch a fish. It's just that's the shit that happens. What the
fuck are you talking about?
It's true. The game knows it too, because there's like Kool-Aid flavored baits and stuff. And I giggle every time I see it. I'm like, that's so good that they know.
Oh my God.
Kool-Aid, strawberry Kool-Aid, because it looks like blood. Fish go for it.
Oh my God. Okay, so.
I do have one complaint. So in previous Dovetail games, specifically Eurofishing, which I said is cream of the crop, right?
Okay.
One of my favorite features was that it was on a day and night cycle. So you claim your peg, you set up. You put your three fishing poles in the water, and time is continuously moving. The weather can be set to be dynamic, or it can be a certain weather pattern whenever. The thing is, though, is that I guess people complained because, like I said, certain fish can only be caught at certain times, right?
Okay.
I guess people complained that they were trying to catch boss fish in the time of the day or the weather would change on them, and so then they weren't able to catch those fish. So in the last couple of simulators we've had from Dovetail, they've removed that dynamic timing. And rather than just changing itself and allowing you to set up and let the weather and the time change around you, you now have to go into the menu and change. I want this hour. I want this. And it doesn't do hours anymore either. It's like, do you want to fish in the morning? Okay. Do you want to fish at sunrise? Okay. Do you want to fish at sunset? Okay. But it doesn't, once you set it to that time, it stays that time unless you go into the menu and change it.
No.
However, they did change one thing between the last game and this one. For the love of man, I can't remember this proper name for that last game. They did change one thing, and I am grateful for it. You no longer have to go all the way back to the menu to change your time or your weather. They did put it in so that even though it's not dynamically changing with you, you can still just go into the map, change the time, your poles stay in the water, your bait stays in the water, you can stay at your peg, and it just changes the in-game time for you. So that's nice. At least you don't have to back all the way out. I wish they would give you more options for your tackle box, though, because you are still limited to just your three poles and what's set up on your poles at that time. You can't change them dynamically, but you can change the weather when you want to, which is a little weird. Give me a little more variety in my tackle box, but thanks for the weather, I guess.
Oh, Lord. Well, overall, you're looking at $25 on this one. What do you think of it?
I do think it's absolutely worth it. I think it's better than their previous game. I didn't even mention that there's boats. I fucking forgot because I don't care about the boats. I don't like the boats. They add a neat element to where you can like get out in some different places on the water. But I just like sitting at a peg and throwing my line in the water and hoping for the best. But I do think it's there's some things that are improved, but there's also some things that I just kind of long for from Eurofishing. But the number of lakes that you get, the types of fish that there are, it's all very impressive, and I think it's definitely worth the money and give it a buy it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next game is called Night Call, developed by Monkey Moon, published by Raw Fury, released June 24th on Xbox One and Switch for $19.99. Also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Friend, confidant, therapist, voyeur, as a cab driver working the Paris night shift, you are many things to different people. Your gift is getting people to talk, and in order to catch the serial killer who left you for dead, that's exactly what you'll need to do. Cole, tell us about Night Call.
Man, Night Call is fantastic and also very intense. excuse me, I've got the hiccups all of a sudden. I was talking too much about fishing.
That'll teach you.
Okay, yeah, right? So Night Call is a point-and-click narrative. Yeah, we're going to roll with that. It's not point-and-click in like a hidden object kind of way, or as in a puzzler kind of way, but as in like you point your mouse and click the solution, like what you want to do, you know? Aki says her and I have very different opinions on Night Call. I'm a little surprised. I would think that Aki would have liked it. It has a bit of a visual novel feel to it. Whereas you start each night as a cabbie, there are three different investigations that you can carry out. But ultimately, your job is drive around the city, take people to different destinations, which kind of just happens. You don't actually have to drive the car or anything like that. But you need to choose options to get them to talk to you and give you clues that help you solve the investigations. It has a very dark, monochromatic aesthetic. Reminds me very much of like a classic film noir, a whodunit murder mystery kind of situation. I got really, really invested in the stories that were being told, which is great because You're limited for the course of the investigation to only have 7 nights to get to your solution. But you're going to find that you're going to run into passengers that you'll reoccurringly pick up. And as you pick them up, you learn more of their stories and you kind of get invested in those stories. And I found that a couple of times I would not pick up my intended suspects for the investigation who could have helped me solve the investigation because I was invested in other stories and I wanted to do those instead. And I was like, whoops.
Proud of you.
I guess I'm never going to go see that cutscene at that eyeball over there because I decided to hear more about the lesbians who were trying to find somebody to be a sperm donor for them. So sometimes just the stories, they're so humanized and real that you can't help but get invested into them and want to like voyeuristically hear a little more. There's a Pasadex involved in the game where like every passenger that you can pick up, as well as all their story scenarios, like it keeps record of all that for you. So you can actually go into it and see like who you've interacted with and what stories you heard from them. With the investigations only lasting 7 nights, again, you can kind of miss out on a lot. And I found myself getting really stressed, like who do I go to? Because I don't want to miss out. But there is a free roam mode that you can go into as well and just drive around and pick up people and collect their stories. So I'm very much going to get lost in free roam mode.
Is this going to be your new addiction?
Between it and fishing, I'm in danger. I hope you didn't want any other reviews because here we are.
Well, I guess we'll talk.
Yeah. I'm in trouble. But I was really just getting super invested in the stories. What's funny was I streamed Night Call last night when I was playing it. And because this has already been out on, I'm assuming, Steam, there were quite a few people who would come by and be like, oh, well, which suspect did you pick? And which suspect did you do? So if you plan to stream this game, be prepared that there's some very vocal people. Nobody spoiled it for me, thankfully. But they were constantly asking me what suspect I chose. And I'd have to be like, dude, I'm on night one. They haven't even explained to me how to choose a suspect yet.
So a lot of backseaters.
Down. Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, I just want to see somebody play my favorite game. I'm like, well, let me play it first. I don't even, what do you mean choose a suspect? I don't even know that there are suspects yet. What are you talking about? So it was, that happened a couple of times. I had to be like, calm down. I don't know what you're talking about yet. It made a little more sense when I got to the end. I want to say I was very proud of myself for the first investigation. I was right away. And I had the same, like, inclination. I'm going to call it women's intuition.
Jeez.
As to what the solution was. And I was very proud of myself for being correct. And I was like, fuck yeah, I am the best. Ah! And then I just spent the rest of my time driving around in free roam and haven't done the other two investigations yet because I wanted to pick up all the stories. I was like, if I play it in free roam, then I don't have to worry about the fact that I'm missing all these stories when I go into the investigation. I was invested.
I can tell. So
I had such a good time with it, and I enjoyed it so much.
Then for $20, your verdict?
I give it a buy it. I didn't think I was going to get so invested. And let me tell you something. I've fussed on the show before that, like, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to in-game soundtracks and music. Like, it kind of passes me by a lot of time, and I just, like, chalk it up to being atmospheric and that I get lost in that. Some of the soundtrack, there is this super intense moment at the end of one of the investigations, and the soundtrack's just like this heavy drum just pounding in your ears, and like it felt like there was an elephant sitting on my chest while I was playing that. I was just like, this fucking soundtrack is not helping with my mood right now. And for somebody who normally just is like, yeah, music, you know, holy shit, I was very into it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Huh?
My daughter. She comes and she's like, my water is empty. Can I go get water? I was like, yeah, hurry.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Super Soccer Blast, developed and published by Unfinished Pixel, released June 12th on Xbox One, June 19th on Switch for $7.99. Kickoff, Super Soccer Blast is an arcade-style football game. Grind your way up, improving your soccer moves match after match to crush your opponents and become the best. Our friend Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review, and this is what she's got to say. Hey there, SML friends and fam, it's Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Super Soccer Blast for the Xbox One. Developed by Unfinished Pixel, Super Soccer Blast is a nod to the arcade soccer games of yesteryear, complete with pixelated fans, stock music, and hyper-bright colors, all designed to stir your nostalgia and love for these types of games. Let's get to the review. It is ridiculously easy to play this game. All you have to do is pick up the controller, hit play, and you're on your way to playing either in a World Cup tournament or creating your own custom game. Where you can slow your roll for a second and create your own avatar and team, which I did naturally. The create an avatar was surprisingly robust, with options for men and women players, different body types, hairstyles, tattoos. While there were no makeup or jewelry options to toy with, I did enjoy making an avatar for myself and was surprised I could adjust the size of my avatar's hands and feet. No clue what that would be used for, but I guess it was cool to have that option. Unfortunately, I couldn't use my avatar in the World Tour tournaments, and what's the point of making yourself in a video game if you can't play as yourself? Boo, I say. Jumping back to the gameplay, it's alright. You run around as one of 13 member soccer teams and try to score as many goals as you can. There are 5 different tours, and each of the tours has different teams that you choose to play. For example, Euro Champs Tour, you play as England, Croatia, France, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, Portugal, and Spain teams. Didn't see your favorite team? Too damn bad. Play what they give you or play another tour. Once you pick the tour you want to play, you can adjust the AI difficulty, match length, and this type of stadium and ball color, although for the last two, you've got to unlock those choices first. Once you start playing, you'll find out very quickly that the gameplay is either something you love or something you hate with everything you possess. Okay. Let me start off by saying it's not bad per se, it's just not very intuitive. In the game, you only control one player at a time, and you'll need to switch players very quickly in order to attack or defend. There's two ways of doing this, either manually or letting the game do it automatically. The game's not as fast as you, so often when you control a player, the action is already elsewhere. Okay, cool. But when you manually switch to control, it doesn't always go to the player you need right in that moment, and you find yourself switching rapidly to highlight the player that you need. Be prepared to take a beating as well. Even on the easy difficulty, I was getting my ass handed to me. Not because I'm bad, but you have to wait for your players to get into position before you can try to score a goal. I will say, though, that the games aren't too long, and if you're doing achievement hunting, it might be worth your while to check this one out. I had over 25% of the achievements at the end of the first match I played. Besides actually winning, I don't see any of them being too hard to get. It's just about how much time you want to put into it all. Super Soccer Blast is available right now on the Xbox One and Switch for $7.99, and should you buy this one, it's a try it for me. You really have to like the older style games to fully appreciate Super Soccer Blast, but if all you want are the points, it's not too much of a time investment. And yeah, I could agree with the achievements. It's not too hard to get some of the achievements. I figured out fairly early that you can score goals on yourself and they count.
Wow.
So I got the earn 50 goals achievement fairly quickly by just scoring on myself.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm a dick.
Terrible.
I know. Next game to talk about is called Clash Force, developed by Spicy Gyro Games, published by Rattlake Games. It released July 3rd on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $4.99. The evil Crackman and his minions are causing mayhem, and only Clash Force is up to the task of stopping his fiendish plans. Guide Voom, Scorpedo, or Ekid through the forest bases, hydrified deserts, underground mines, and eventually to Crackman's flying fortress, where you'll find the evil, I can't talk anymore, son of a bitch.
Well,
yeah, fuck it. Can you save the day? Cole, did you save the day?
I did.
Hooray. Kind
of. I mean, you only have to save so much of the day to get the completion because of the Rattlaika. And so I did bare minimum. That's not true. I played a little extra of it. I beat the boss I didn't have to beat because that's what I do. I always like to make myself feel a little better. I'm like, well, if I got to review it,
might as I need well. To
put in some kind of effort. So, so this is a not necessarily a side scroller. It is a 2D shmup, but not in like a shmuppy things are shooting back kind of way. It's very basic game, very pixel art. I picked the dinosaur. I don't remember his name, but he shot shit, and I was fine with that. It's not an over-the-top game. It's not a difficult game. There isn't really anything special about the game. It's just you can shoot things and then be done shooting things.
It's mean to say, but it's a $5 Rattlake game, and you're getting what you're paying for with this one. It's just a $5 action platformer. It's not super long. You're going to get through it fairly quickly. The achievements are going to be fairly easy to get, as is per usual with Rattlake titles. I think I got my completion in under 20 minutes, and that's just because I took a break to work on the show in between stages.
Yeah, it's very quick. It's very mundane. I don't say that though. To be mean. Yeah, like when I say mundane, I feel like it's like, oh, I didn't enjoy it. And I just really mean in a way of like, it's not rattling the cages, but you're not mad about it either. You're like, okay, I shot shit. I'm content. Next thing to shoot. Okay, I did that and I'm done. I enjoyed my time with it. It's just that it's $5 and I got $5 worth of entertainment out of it. You know,
yeah.
Like I wasn't looking for a whole lot more. I played it and I was like, okay, that's what I expected. Yeah, I'm good. Bye.
Works for me.
Yeah. I don't necessarily have anything to bitch about. There was a later level where there's a jump mechanic where a platform falls when you land on it. And it was a little janky in how you could jump off of it. And I had a few undeserved deaths, if you will. So it's not flawless, but it's also not unplayable. I clearly figured it out and got past it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't upset about it enough to complain. But I didn't enjoy it enough to sing about it from the rooftops either.
No.
It's just a square. Yeah, I got $5 worth out of that. And, you know, There's not a whole lot more to say beyond that.
Yeah. So
I shot things, I got power ups, I shot more things, and I was done.
So I think I could speak for both of us when I say $5. Fuck it, why not?
Fuck it, why not? Yeah, it's one of those where you probably picked it up for the achievements more than anything, and if that's the case, then you got your money's worth.
Yeah, I can agree. All right, final game to talk about is a little mini preview of a game called Imagine, the Rap Project Stories, developed and published by the Rap Project. It's planned for a 2021 release on Steam with a later console release. The Rap Project is a combination of narrative-driven adventure RPG with a deck-building card game. The nonlinear plot, comic book aesthetics, full voiceover, and game mechanics are all tightly attached to the represented world in a unique fantasy setting. I have a feeling a lot of that stuff isn't there yet.
None of it was there yet.
Okay.
So what I played was essentially a proof of concept that was released for the sake of a Kickstarter. And from what I have and from what I have played, which literally included one scene of the story and one fight of the main character, Tolan, versus some rats. From that, I can say, hey, I think that if you are into deck building card games, then this is probably going to be something that you're going to want to check out. It has combat that is very similar to Slay the Spire and Pirate Outlaws, only it doesn't have that same map mechanic from what I can tell. It's instead more story driven, like, say, Children of the Zodiacs. Fantastic art style, very comic book esque, a lot of dark colors, very broody. The story was a little odd. There was a mechanic that, because there wasn't much to the game, I didn't really understand. But you make a couple of choices, and there's like a sliding bar at the top that veers between purple and yellow, depending on what you choose. But again, given that this was more a proof of concept than an actual demo, it's kind of hard to be like, oh, that changed this or that changed that. I kind of can't.
No.
At this point, I've already spent more time talking about it than I got to the play of it. And that's okay. I mean, it's a demo state, but it definitely piqued my interest, and it's something that I'm looking forward to. And I hope that they are successfully backed on Kickstarter. And if that's your kind of thing, you might want to look into it.
All right, well,
that was super cool.
As of the episode coming out, they have about 2 weeks left to go on the Kickstarter. They have a goal of about 48,000. They're at 23 right now. Is this something that people should be flocking to Kickstarter to throw their support behind? Or is this something to just, like, maybe sit back and wait and see how close it gets to being funded?
I would say, yeah, if this is your kind of genre, then you're definitely going to want to throw your money into this kind of game. It's definitely very genre specific, though. Like, if you're like, I don't know if I even like deck building games enough to throw my money at one before it's even got a fully playable demo, then, you know, watch it. But for what it is and for the kind of games that I enjoy, if you find that, you know, those kind of games also suit you, then I'm fucking intrigued, and I hope that it gets back. Then I want other people to go throw some support at it.
Well, if you want to back it, it's about $15 to back for a copy of the game and some visual goodies like wallpapers and shit like that. So
nice.
We will have a Kickstarter link in the show notes, and just take a look, a gander on down there, click on over and check out the Kickstarter and maybe throw your money behind it.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Thanks to Tony for coming on and chatting with us, a little surprise guest that we had out of nowhere. It was fun. I saw him streaming before he came on, because he does his stream theater show on Thursdays. And he was like, yeah, I got to come on the show sometime soon. And I was like, hey, 25 minutes, come on, join us. And he's like, oh, I probably can't join tonight, but, you know, next time, definitely let me know. And here we go, 10 minutes into the show, he shows up in chat and he's like, hey, what's up? Let's do this shit.
That's fantastic. It was a good time.
I know. I love it. It's just spontaneous, fun shit like that.
Yes.
But yeah, that is it for this episode. Music, we're going to play something from the Tiberian Sons. I figured he just sent some of the new music that was on Dwelling in Duels over the past few months. So we'll play something there. And I don't know. Any final words to end the show?
I have nothing of value to say because I am fishing.